Well, it's been said, and I think it's worth repeating, that the Bible is not a scientific treatise. It's not something that, it's not the place you go to figure out things about physics and a bunch of other things. And the fact that people keep trying to sort of shoehorn it into that is just a sign of sort of ongoing desire to make it valuable, I suppose. But it seems sort of short-sighted. The flip side, saying that the Bible has nothing to say about things that can be empirically decided, is equally foolish. And one of the things that the Bible is really good at is reminding us of what it means to be a human being. And it says in the Bible, in one place rather explicitly, and it certainly alludes to another, that as a human being thinks, so that human being is. And this is one of those things that science has finally caught up to and has demonstrated rather conclusively through psychology and a few other things, that how you think or what you think about has a tremendous shaping impact on who you are and who you become. And that's where the sermon title comes from. So that's how we should think. And it comes out of Philippians. I remember when I was younger, being tremendously frustrated with my father in particular, but occasionally my mother, for telling me that some of the things that I was reading or some of the movies and such things I was watching weren't good for me because they would affect sort of how I was. And I, of course, rejected this entirely as foolish because, well, it came from a foolish old man at that point who it was shortly after that he started getting wiser and wiser. Until now, he's in his... My late father, I go back to what he told me an awful lot and continue almost entirely with profit. And I remember thinking and telling him point blank that that's ridiculous. It's just a movie. It's just a book. It's just a song. And that's one of those tremendously pernicious half-truths because it is just a song and it is just a movie. It's just a book. It's just a whatever it might be. And if you go and watch a movie or a particular kind of movie once, you read a particular kind of book or listen to a particular kind of song once, the chances of it affecting you dramatically, I would agree, are pretty much zero. But if you go back to that kind of movie or book or song or whatever it is over and over and over again, you will eventually find, whether you like it or not, that it has affected how you think and it has affected how you are. One of the other things my father said that is sort of peripherally related, he said, if you want to become rich, he said, it's the easiest thing in the world. All it takes is ceaseless devotion to becoming rich, and eventually you will. He said, there's a good chance you won't have any friends. You won't have any relationships that matter. You'll probably leave a trail of relational wreckage behind you. And who knows what, but you will become rich. Because if that's all that matters to you, then you will eventually get there. If what we think about is limited to one particular kind of thing, we will become that way. If, to put it a little more broadly, if we think about a particular sort of group of things all of the time, they will eventually have an effect on us. And as a younger person, this really drove me crazy because it seemed to me like this meant I was going to be affected by things that I didn't choose to be affected by. And I just said that wasn't the case, which was another example of ignorance demonstrating itself out loud. Because how we think affects what we do. If we think that people are fundamentally out to get us, eventually our lives will be characterized in such a way that people are out to get us. Whether they are or not becomes irrelevant because that's how we will interact with the world. We know people like this. At least I'm pretty sure we do. I know I do. That everything that happens is because someone is doing it specifically against them. And I'm not talking about people who have moved into a kind of paranoia where they're probably better off institutionalized. I'm talking about people who are reasonably effective in the world. But when you talk to them, everything that happens, everybody else's action is somehow directed against them. They're tremendously tiring people to be around. They're tiring because we have this feeling that we should correct this poor thinking, and that kind of poor thinking is absolutely impenetrable to reason. It just makes no... We just can't get through to these people. And if we think that way, if we start thinking that way, and we spend all of our time thinking that way, eventually, that's how we will see the world. Human beings have a tremendous ability to recreate the world so it fits the way we want it to, at least for us. Everyone who drives a car has had somebody driving too slowly in front of them, at least once. It's impossible for it not to happen at least once. And for most of us, when somebody's driving too slowly in front of us, it's an irritation, especially if we're trying to get somewhere and there's a time schedule. But for most of us, it's just one of those things that happen. For some people, someone's driving slowly in front of them just to irritate them. And this is an authentically held belief that they have come to because they have spent so much time thinking that people are out to get them. Well, Paul has some words about what we should actually think about. And in Philippians, Paul says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I come back to this often because I am someone who does not automatically think in these terms. And at my best, it's a way of thinking of critique that sees what could be fixed and what could be made better. That's at its best, and I think it has some value. At its worst, it's a really aggravating nitpicking, looking for what's wrong. And at its best, when it's at its best, when I'm looking at what's going on and saying, like, how can we make this better, it's a very positive kind of thing. It's positive for me, and it's positive for the people around me, as long as I put it in the right terms. When all I'm doing is looking for what's wrong, because who knows why, it's never positive. It brings everybody down who's there, including me. And so instead, whenever I come back to Philippians, I'm reminded again that how important it is for me to work on the way I think, even now. We sometimes are under the impression that sort of these ways of thinking or whatever are set when we're younger, and that whatever happened to us up to a particular age, and most of us put it somewhere in our late teens or early 20s, we're kind of stuck there. And nothing could be further from the truth. Of all the things that we can affect about who we are, how we think is one that I will absolutely guarantee you we can. It's not easy, but at least it's possible. I, for one, cannot make myself particularly taller or shorter. I mean, I can sort of crouch, I guess, a little bit, which would be uncomfortable. I could wear, you know, platform shoes or lifts or something. But, you know, in any kind of meaningful sense, I can't change the size I am. I can change the width a little bit here and there, but we'll see about that. But I can change how I think. At any age, I can change how I think. I can become a person who is characterized by thinking about what Paul says are important to think about, rather than thinking about how I'm hard done by, rather than thinking about the opportunities that I no longer have because I'm too old or whatever it might be. What Paul says is these are the things to think about. And what's fascinating to me is that Paul in this passage doesn't say, think about explicitly religious things. And I've always enjoyed this because what Paul is telling us here is that there is this huge world around us that's filled with good things for us to think about. That we aren't limited to just thinking about the scripture we memorized this morning or whenever it might be. Whatever is true, well, there's all kinds of true things out there. young girl named Malala just won or is sharing the Nobel Peace Prize because she thinks that education for girls is important, and is important enough that she was almost killed for it, and continues to put herself in a place of risk because she continues to speak out about this. That's true. That is something about which we can think that is not specifically religious or not specifically Christian, but it's something we can think about. It's also noble. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, go for a walk today and enjoy this beautiful fall weather we have. And think about it, about the wonders of creation, of how great this world is. Think about those people you admire. There are very few people that you're going to meet that haven't done something that's admirable. Think about those things. One of the reasons why I like history, and there are lots of reasons, but one of the reasons why I like history is I can see what other people have done that is admirable. It doesn't mean that everything they do is admirable. You read any competent biography of any public figure, and you'll find things in there that are a little tawdry, a little shameful perhaps. But you'll also find things in there that are extraordinary, where people took risks, where people stepped out and took unpopular positions because they were the right thing to do. Think about those things. Think about if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. And Paul says, think about them, and the peace of God will be with you. I mean, that's where he brings God in. Because all of these things ultimately come from God. The fact that not that long ago I finished the 3-volume biography of Theodore Roosevelt. Fascinating person. Bit of a goofball in many ways. Very much larger than life in sort of the current way of thinking. He said things that no politician, I think, would even dare dream of saying today, because he just felt like saying them. In many ways, he was a bundle of contradictions, just like all of us. But it was at a different time, and he didn't have to be quite so careful about everything he said. Fascinating person. Started and really was the leading edge of national parks in the United States, saying that it's important that we have places where you can just go and be part of nature and see what it's like and enjoy camping or whatever you do in there. People thought he was kind of crazy. They thought it was a waste of, you know, we have all this land that we could be farming or hunting or ranching or something else. Like, are you crazy? He said, no, we need this. This is something that we should have. And this is, Theodore Roosevelt was a hunting person. My goodness. He killed more things than you can imagine. He just said, no, we have to have these places where people can go where this kind of thing doesn't happen. Why? Because it's important, because it needs to be done. He wasn't exactly a suffragette in any sense, but he created the environment where women had a voice that they hadn't had before, which was unpopular. He had a relationship with people of color that was unusual for his time. I read that and I came out of that thinking, change is possible. People can still do things. You can take these positions that are not popular and you can make them happen. Admirable things, when we think about them, will change the kind of people we are. It's easy for us to look at anyone and find something wrong. Christopher Hitchens, a bit of a peculiar person in some ways, the late Christopher Hitchens, but extraordinarily bright, well-read, all those things, wrote a scathing article about Mother Teresa and how awful she was as a person. okay. I mean, and what he said, he didn't make stuff up. He found things. He spun them in a particularly unpleasant way. But Mother Teresa, saintly as she might have been, was not a sinless person. If we're looking for that, we will always find it. But the reverse is also true. That if we're looking for what's admirable, if we're looking for what's true, for what's right, for what's noble, if we look for what's there, we will always see it. And I'm not talking about some kind of a Pollyanna revisionist view of people that says that black is white or wrong is right. I'm saying you look at the people around you, who maybe even the people who drive you crazy, and if you look hard enough, you'll find things there that are worthwhile. You'll find things there that you could take as an example of how to behave in particular ways. Some of the most aggravating people I can remember interacting with when I was younger were athletes, especially high school athletes. If there's a group of people more entitled than young male athletes, I don't know what it is. And it'd be very easy to write them off as this group of people that need to just grow up or go away, one or the other. And yet when you look at the kind of discipline that it takes to become even a good high school athlete, there's something admirable there. These are people that for all of their irritation they might provide for you, are the kind of people who are getting up at ridiculous hours in the morning to lift weights, to run, to do these other things so that they can be the best athletes they can be. That these are admirable behaviors. Everywhere you look, you can find things that fit this list that Paul has put together. And those are the things we should think of. When we have those quiet moments, when our brain is just sort of flitting around looking for something to meditate on or consider, where do we go? Do we go to the most recent ridiculous decision made by a politician somewhere? Do we go to what we don't have? Do we go to how wrong something is? And it's not that these thoughts are wrong in and of themselves, but is that where we go? Is that what we think on all the time? For lots of us, it is, if we're not careful. But we can change that. And if we're looking for things to think of, if we want to know how to become the kind of people we want to become, think on things that fit in this list. What I've done sometimes is almost a thought experiment when I am aggravated by a current political decision or whatever it might be, is try and think of that same person or that same situation and look for the good that's there. And you know what? I almost always find it. And if I can make those kind of changes to think about what's good and pure and admirable and right, it's going to affect how I am. It's going to make me a more optimistic person, a more tolerant, in the best sense of the word, person, not tolerant of evil, not tolerant of everything, but more tolerant of what I don't understand. And it'll make me a better person to be around. Anybody can find fault. It's easy. It's there everywhere. We live in a fallen world. I mean, there's fault everywhere. Paul doesn't say that we ignore all of those things. He says, take the time to think about the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. We do those things, and that's part of what will allow the God of peace to be with us and to change who we are from the inside out. Because that's what we really want. We want to become the people that we were created to be. And this is one of the ways. By paying attention to how we think and what we think about, and putting in the time and effort to think about the things that we should.